Hi, I'm Pastor Stephanie, and welcome to the special edition of The Heart of the Pastor, the show that takes you behind the pulpit to reveal the compassion, call, and character of the men and women of God who serve the body of Christ, as well as what it costs them to do so. This month, we're celebrating International Women's Month, and tonight, I want to highlight a group of women whose journey in ministry is often misunderstood and overlooked. Women who love God, women who serve in ministry, women who pastor. But specifically women who stand beside visionary leaders. Women who are called to walk with their husbands in ministry while also discovering their own voice, their own identity, and their own calling in God. So tonight's conversation is titled, The Second Seat of Authority. The Second Seat of Authority. And I want to say something right now, at the beginning, because this really matters. Second seat does not mean second class. I'm going to say that again. Second seat does not mean second class. It simply describes a different seat within God's order and partnership. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, I will make him a helper suitable for him. The word helper in Hebrew is ezer. And that same word is used throughout scripture to describe God himself as our helper. So the role was never meant to be small or insignificant, y'all. It was designed to be a powerful partnership. It was designed that way. So tonight, I am so honored to have a woman who understands this journey deeply, a woman who I've known for a short period of time, but with whom I have become fast friends. She is a dynamic woman of God. Please help me welcome to the show, Dr. Rico Wagner. Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey
welcome,
there.
Welcome, welcome. So glad
Thank
to have you.
Thank you for having me. Well, I'm happy to be here.
Amen. You know, it's just awesome that we moved to North Carolina and we've met some powerful men and women of God. And, you know, our girls, I just give God praise because he attached them to some wonderful pastors. Wonderful spiritual moms and spiritual dads who they truly listen and honor the authority in their lives. And, you know, that's something Pastor Tuck and I have always prayed for, is that they will have pastors after God's heart. So I'm so glad that you're here. Now, you know, one of the things people often don't realize is that when God calls a visionary leader, he often calls the wife into a journey she may not have fully anticipated.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hey.
You know, you may fall in love with a man, but you eventually discover you're also stepping into a mission attached to that man. And Amen. That mission brings responsibility, expectations, spiritual warfare, and growth that many people outside ministry never see.
Yes.
Now, scripture reminds us in Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. That's a good reward. Amen.
A good reward. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So God designed kingdom work to be done in partnership. Now, up here it says Dr. Wagner, but I will call you Dr. Rico because that's what everybody calls you.
Okay.
So, Dr. Rico, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your journey. Like, when did you first realize that your husband's calling was also going to become a shared assignment for you?
You know what? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Until I know we both were in love with Jesus, and I'm a PK. So, coming in, everything was fine. You know, this was good. And one day he just said, you know what? I think God is calling me into ministry. And now understand, his calling to ministry was 10 years. So we sat and we ate and we grew, but then he had this light bulb that went off. And I'm thinking now, as a career woman, mm-hmm. corporate America, mm-hmm. newlywed, been, like I said, a PK. So I already know traditionally what that entails. Mm-hmm. He is a retired state trooper. At that time, he was a state trooper, Marine Corps. So orders and discipline was everything he came from.
Yeah.
And so when he told me, I know he was serious about it. But again, as a mother wearing different hats, I was thinking, okay, yeah, I got you. I'm supporting my man. I got you, until I realized I got you was, no, you got us is what I was saying.
That's right. That's right.
You know, because it does take a lot as a, not just a wife, but a pastor's wife, because you have to be giving of so much family time sometimes of themselves. They're still evolving and learning in the isolation. So we call it the second seat. That second seat, when you're married to a man that has a vision and you're part of the vision, because we are here to be helpmeets. And when he said what he was called to do, it still sounds singular. Yeah, I got you. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to make sure the family's good. So God realized that, no, we're talking about kingdom family as well, not just your natural family. And I think it didn't really start to horn in until later on in ministry that when he was called, I was called too. And when God started speaking and speaking to me, I realized this is something divinely that he already had set up. But I did not realize supernaturally what was taking place until I realized that second seat could do three things. Three things. You hear me? Three things. Mm-hmm. I can sit in that seat. Mm-hmm. I can throw that seat at someone. I could truly toss the seat. And depending on what day it was, honestly, you didn't know. But then I realized God said, sit in that seat and eat of my eat what he is teaching, because I wanted the same results that they were getting. And I had to realize, my spiritual mother asked me one day, she said, when did you start seeing him as your pastor? And when she said that, it was like, you're right. If I'm believing what they, I want what they have, I got to sit and be ready to receive and realize that I'm not in a boardroom at work. I'm in the church. Amen. And I am a parishioner. I am here to hear what thus says the Lord. And I need to glean from the man of God in this second seat, because when the second seat is rattled, it's because something is going on that we have to be the ones to support our husbands, and not just our husbands, our pastor, not just our pastor, our children's father. You know, so it's different lanes, different. Look, it's many levels to this second seat.
Yes,
it is. And it's not a passive seat. It's a powerful seat.
Amen.
It's a powerful seat. And so, yeah, when he told me, I had no idea what it entailed, but I know now. It's still evolving. It's still coming to fruition.
Yes.
Because we're in a different era and time now where that seat is required to be vacant at times, because I'm working. I'm in the kingdom now. It's not just sitting there and waiting. No, you you digging up the roots and setting the foundation as well.
Sure enough. And
oh yeah,
it's much more than just being quote unquote the trophy wife, you know, you know, first ladies or, you know, whatever they, you know, they have a history of trying to make them prima donnas. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
when you're supporting your husband who is visionary, especially in birth ministry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember my spiritual mom said, "Is your marriage strong enough?"
Yes.
When she first said that, I was like, well, Lord, I guess it is, you know. But again, is your marriage strong enough? And that always stayed with me because it helped me, you know, really take note of how ministry is affecting marriage. Meaning, you know, is he stressed? What do I need to do to help balance it out? How do I
keep,
you know, the children happy and not interrupt their daddy all the time, you know, while he's working on word, you know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
I mean, it's a lot. So, you know, one of the biggest challenges for women walking beside visionary leaders is balance.
Yeah. Yeah. Work-life balance is important.
And, you know, it's funny. You think work-life balance just goes with work, but
work never stops. Because when the church lights go off and people leave, life between Sundays is still going on for the minister,
Amen.
His wife, and his children. I think you said something so important about strength when the vision is tired, when the visionary is tired. You have to be the strength. You have to be the one to hold up the arms when they just want to drop them sometimes. Wisdom when the vision is questioned. Come on, that second seat has to remind not only yourself, but God is what he's doing.
Yeah.
Even when you don't see it manifested yet, you have to stay the course and silence when the room is loud. Oh, we love you. You know, right now we are going into Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This is when it costs to come home. It costs to go through. And I think, you know, and having faith for the future when it's unclear. God, you gave us this vision. So we know provision's going to be made. But you said your spiritual mother asked you a question.
Yes.
And it's funny because when I talked to mine, she said, are you fully persuaded?
Oh, Jesus.
Not strong enough, but are you fully persuaded that you can handle the mantle that he carries?
Mm-hmm.
And if he carries it, that means as his partner, you carry it too. Are you fully persuaded on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Amen.
And let's back up on Tuesday when we may have had an issue, or go back to Thursday. Do you understand?
Are you
fully persuaded
mm-hmm.
that regardless how you emotionally feel, and I learned this, I speak two languages, faith and English. I don't get to quarrel. I don't get to stay in a pity party.
Right.
And the Bible says, now look, the Bible says you can get angry, just don't sin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's allowing me in that second seat to be a little bothered, but I also know my promises are yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that I serve a God who does the impossible, even when I don't feel it or see it. And I have to encourage myself because I'm truly a mirror of the visionary. And that second seat is believing that you got it, that mm-hmm. you're fully persuaded. You're fully persuaded
yes.
that God has this in control, even when you don't think he has it in control or you have it in control.
Mm.
But I am fully persuaded. And each day I am even more persuaded that God is in control. More so than when I originally sat down, because, you know, you're in love, you're emotional. You want to believe that everybody that come to church is believing God to do some miraculous things and they love you just like they love Jesus. But then you realize that you was on the stake. You got a Judas. You got all these things
right.
going on.
Yep.
And
yep.
realizing that, oh, my goodness.
Right.
I got to have harvest field words
mm-hmm.
that what I got going on. Personally, I don't get to take that into the church.
Mm-hmm.
That second seat keeps balance. Balance looks like this. God is first. If God can't do it, I can't do it. I have to trust him in every decision making because I'm believing that I'm going to be a better decision maker. because I'm trusting him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, it says, lean not. So lean not sound looks like this. I don't know how this is going to go, so I'm just going to do what I have to do. That's a lean.
Yeah.
No, a trust is, I don't see it, but God does. And supernatural is going to come to natural, and it's going to work itself out. And that is where I have to be fully persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that emotions don't matter in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It matters to us in the world, because I want you to know I'm hurting, I'm upset. But then I realize in the kingdom, nobody lacks.
Wow.
In the kingdom, there's no sorrow like that. No. I have to change my mindset and saying, in the kingdom, I win.
Amen.
Even when it looks like I'm losing or I've lost track, I win. So I am fully persuaded that he already has it taken care of. My marriage, my children, and my emotional states when I come in and sit in that second seat, and knowing that I have to be that dominant voice outside of God.
Wow.
That you can do this. We just got to keep plowing the land.
You know, as you were talking,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit just showed me, you know, you have the shepherd, and the shepherd, he dictates and says the words to the sheep to keep the sheep from running off a cliff and hurting himself.
Mm.
But guess who plays second seat?
Mm.
The sheepdog.
The sheep. The sheepdog.
The sheepdog.
There you go.
Yep. So when the sheep are running all over the place, the shepherd gives the sheepdog the order to help him gather the sheep. And I mean, I hate to say it. I don't want to be called a dog, but you know, we're sheepdogs. We help the shepherd. See where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I would look at it as the emotional stabilizer. Mm-hmm. Not just the spiritual covering from God, but the private encourager.
Mm-hmm.
Because that dog has to be encouraged, not only to go get it, but to bring it back.
Oh, that's good.
You got to bring it back. It's going to cost to come back sometimes.
Mm.
It's going to cost, and you got to have some type of unseen strategist on, I know how this can go. But God's strategy is, I win. I'm his daughter. He's going to take care of me. So the strategy is kingdom. The strategy is, you do what I say and watch it work out. And you got to go for that one. You got to go out and get that one.
Amen.
The strategist sees it before it even happens, because the shepherd is shepherding.
Yeah.
But then you got to have that second seat looking to see, we got one that went astray.
Amen. Amen.
Now you do what you have to do. And trust me that when I go and get, they're coming back, but it's going to cost. Whew. It's a cost to us. So that's what I'm talking about. They're fully persuaded.
Fully.
Are you fully persuaded with that second seat?
Mm.
Are you fully persuaded?
Wow.
That you said, you know, even with the idea of being the sheep dog, that dog has to be taken care of.
Mm.
That dog, you know, a dog know when they treat it right.
That's right.
That dog know that when I come back, that I have a plush place to lay my head.
Mm-hmm.
My water's where it needs to be. My food is where it needs to be. Look, you're going to shampoo me.
Right.
You're going to wipe me down. Ooh. This dog got some shiny, pretty hair.
Yeah.
Do you understand? The sheepdog don't look like a dog that's worn out.
Mm-hmm.
That dog does not look like it's on its last leg.
Whew.
That dog serves with love. That's what that sheepdog does. Because if you serve with love as a sheepdog going out to get them, you can only do what you're exposed to.
Mm.
So oh, if I'm exposed to it, I'm going to bring it back and be exposed to more.
Mm. And, you know, even being exposed to more, you know, because we are who we are, a lot of times people think the exposing to more, we are just supposed to stay in one little mold. You know, they don't know what goes on in our minds, because we see things they don't see.
Come on.
And people do expect us as pastors' wives to fit in a certain mold. But the truth is, God doesn't call women into an image. I mean, we already made in his image. So So he doesn't call women into an image that's set by man. He called them to assignment, that kingdom building.
Come on.
So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, Paul writes, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them." That means every woman in ministry must discover, this is important, you know, what is my grace? And what is my lane?
Yeah.
So, you know, Dr. Rico, how did you learn to navigate the expectations people sometimes place on a pastor's wife? And how did you find balance between supporting the vision and still being true to who God called you to be?
So interesting enough, my mom, watching her.
Wow.
And watching her be caught up with the strategies of religion and some of the things that she could not or wanted to do and couldn't do because she was so concerned about what people in the church would say, which would draw her back from being authentic. And that was something I asked God in the very beginning. You know, you love me, and I know you will love me anyway, with or without likes or followings. At the end of the day, God likes me. God loves me. So once I realized that from the beginning and how he's taking care of me in every component, every aspect of my life, he's always been there for me. But 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, mind your business.
I love it.
And he will bless your hands. And when I was finding out that I was minding other people's business, that had nothing to do with me. Ooh. At the end of the day, it had nothing to do with me. So I freed myself with that scripture. Message just tears it up. Message translation just tells you, you mind your business and he will bless your hands. So my hands will be blessed when I stay in my lane. And my lane, I do that well. That is Rico. That is the wife of Pastor Sam Wagner. That is the mother of Stefan, Samaya, Tyler, Ian, and the grandmother of Ace. I do well in those lanes. I don't do so well when I try to be others. And I always believe that you could be so much to so many people and nothing to the people that matter. And that's when I realized God has invested too much in me for me to disrupt what he's already planted. So I had to learn that at the end of the day, who do I answer to? God.
That's right.
Are you pleased with how I am doing things? I put a post out today about how you schedule. Is your schedule truly what God has for you today in your life? When we talk about the life between Sundays, are all the decisions I make today pleasing to God? Did it benefit me at all? Did I get some type of satisfaction for Rico today? Because if I did, I can help others. If I didn't, I'm going to be overextending myself.
Wow.
And I am going to be on fire when other people are warm. And I don't want to do that no more.
Jesus.
So
that's exhausting.
It's past exhausting. And I realize I'm thinking more about a situation and ain't thought nothing else about it.
That's right.
They ain't thought nothing else about it. They are gone.
Dinner and,
and looking at you like, what you talking about?
Right.
And you're like, mm-mm. So I mind my business and I mind Rico. That's what I do well. I have mastered studying myself, knowing my shortcomings. I know what I like, what I don't like, and being okay with being authentic. So, and that's taking time. Let me be clear.
Yeah.
It's many levels, like I said, to Rico.
It's all right.
But I do know the areas that I need to work on the most. It's the ones that I'm sitting in now, being comfortable with the sentence or with the word no. I will say yes to something sometimes and no, I don't want to do it. Now, why am I going to complain about something I already know I could have said no to?
Right. Right.
So I do it now. And my son used to say, Mom, why you fuss and still do it? I said, you know what? I'm teaching him something I shouldn't be teaching him.
Right.
My no is a complete sentence. And I told him,
Jesus,
as a young man, let your yes be yes and your no, be no. And when he said that to me, that's when I realized, back up and do it the right way. Don't overexpose yourself.
It's interesting when you said, like, your no be your no, and mm-hmm. how you're like, oh my gosh, I'm teaching him that. I had to recently repent and apologize mm-hmm. to my two girls because I was raised in a traditional Baptist church, and basically I played the piano. I was directing choirs and singing. And mm-hmm. anytime they say, well, Stephanie, can you play for a wedding? No, I'm full and well. I got something to do. And I say, yeah. You know, when Pastor Tuck got his first church installed in the country, you know, it was like a package deal. He could preach, I could play and sing, you know. And I never said no. And I recognize even when we got in birth ministry, oh my gosh, I felt like I couldn't say no, that I couldn't take time for Stephanie. And I was burning out, you know, working a full-time job at the VA, mm-hmm. part-time private practice, where I solely was the sole practitioner. I did all the billing and all that myself, claims, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
You know, then, you know, of course, birth ministry, but most importantly, being a mom to my beautiful girls. And because I had a hard time saying no, I would do things and, like you say, not be authentically Stephanie.
Whew. That's right.
My God. And when you get to that point of being authentic, it is so freeing to where you don't care what anybody else thinks, as long as you carry yourself, you know, in a way that honors God. So I love that. Yeah.
You have to honor God. You have to honor God. And that, you know what you're talking about, so many women, pastors' wives are not. We overexpose ourselves to stuff we really don't want to do, but we do it because we can. Even though, I could do hair, but God didn't grace me to do hair. Mm-hmm. I could do a lot of things. So once I realize what I'm graced to do, I stick with that. But it goes back to Proverbs 3:5-6. That's all leaning on our own understanding. Didn't nobody say we had to do it? Mm. We're leaning on our own understanding. But trusting God means that when I say no, they still gonna like me. Either way, it's gonna end up the same.
Amen.
Me overextending myself, it just means that relationship probably end quicker because I use wisdom. And not trying to save something that ain't worth saving.
Well, say that one more again.
Trying to save something that ain't worth saving. You know, it's one of those situations where what you strive to keep, you will ultimately lose because that's not for you to have.
Mm.
Peace, he says, I leave with you. That means I don't have to go search for the peace or preserve it. He left it with me. So if I'm talking about my peace, I gave it away.
My God.
I'm not giving it away.
Right.
I'm gonna hold on to it. But that comes with seeking God and seeking wisdom. Because let me tell you right now, it ain't easy like that.
Mm.
It's not easy. I just put me first now.
Mm-hmm. And that's
okay. I put me first. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to embrace that's okay. Because if we don't, you know, put ourselves first, many times challenges with birth ministry or just the challenges many women experience but rarely talk about, it's called the imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
Don't nobody want to be an imposter. You know, that feeling that maybe you don't really belong in the room, or wondering if people only respect you because of your husband's position. And sometimes that can cause women to shrink back from their voice. One thing I know, Dr. Rico Wagner has a voice. In a short time.
You know, it's something about affirmation, though. Affirmation's important. Mm. I think when Jesus started out, he was affirmed by his father. Mm. And I think women sometimes just want to be affirmed by the one that we put in God's place, which is our spouse, which is a girlfriend or something. We put them where God should be. and we don't get the affirmation from them, imposter syndrome takes its own identity.
It really does.
If you are affirmed by the one that you hold so sacred that has a dominant voice in your head, you can care less what people think. Because the right person with the right that you have put in this area that means so much to you because they have affirmed you, they don't care. But if you don't get that affirmation from that person at that time, you just opened up what they call a Pandora's box. You just opened up something to where you're constantly trying to get them to say something. You could be told so many times how beautiful you are, how nice your clothes are. But if that person that really needs to say it don't say it, you're going to keep striving for acceptance, and rejection takes place, and then it's birthed into imposter syndrome.
My God.
It's just a byproduct of rejection. It's just, that's just where it sits.
And, you know, even with that, where you're saying the byproduct of rejection, you know, God, like you said, God's love is just something that comforts us throughout everything, good, bad, you know, okay, whatever. But, you know, because he knew us before we even became a pastor's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'm like Ricky Ricardo off of I Love Lucy. When I get to heaven, I'm like, God, you got some explaining to do. Because I'm like, you know, hey, why, you know, what is it? Why did you choose me? And, you know, again, it's not the why, it's the why not. And he designed us perfectly for that.
Wow.
And, you know, if we come in with the imposter syndrome, we're worshiping as an imposter. We're serving God as an imposter. We're serving our congregation. What? As an imposter. And one thing about me, and I sense that from you, people got to be real with us. You know, fake can just move on. I'm a type of person, you know, you shoot from the hip. You know, if you got to say something, say it. Because the last thing you want to do is have someone that's not, again, authentic. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's something I just want to lean into that a little bit more. Some people have tried to be authentic, but was hurt and they built up a wall. And they, I heard one lady say, she said, I really want to be friends, but I don't know how. Wow. She's in her 50s. So understand, when we were all in school, it was easy to want to be liked and to have friends. But then when we got older, we got married, I had children, I started a career, friendship really didn't matter as much. You're not paying my bills, you're not hanging out with me, you're not doing nothing for me. So you liking me has nothing to do with it, but it has something to do with it. Relationship or relational equity is so important.
Oh my God.
Because if you can't be friends with yourself, how you expect somebody else to be friends with you? But the imposter syndrome is fueled by self-doubt. It's being fueled. It grows into this monster. And now you give your life to Christ. And look, this is what happens. Now you want to remodel. You got to repent. You got to restructure your mindset, how you handle things. You accentuate the positives. Even when it's negative, you got to speak things as though they are. So you're having to retrain your mind. So what does that look like? Where there was a window, God has busted you open so much, remodeling you. It's a door now. So now people can come in. The circles, the click circles are closed in. That means nobody gets in or out. If you in the room, then you don't have to worry about why you in the room. Sit down at the table, eat the food, because you're in the room. Like we forget about that. Detours and distractions make us focus on what wasn't happening. When I'm saying, God, show me what I don't see. Get me prepared for that. I'm not even caught up in what I do see, because I know he had a third. While I'm focused on this, it's a third of them over here tearing up stuff in my life. And I don't want that. But you got to lean into the imposter. Why is it okay to be fake?
Right.
Because fake doesn't mean you're accountable. It means that when I'm done, I'm done. But accountability means I'm going to hold you to what you said. I'm going to hold you. It makes you responsible. Authentic means you're responsible. So if you say something they're going to hold you to that. Why did you say it? Because that's just how I feel. Mm-hmm. And why do you feel? Now we got to get out of our feelings and get into faith. Faith says this, but, and I always ask the ladies that come or anybody that comes and want counseling, do you want Dr. Rico or do you want Rico? Because these are two different mindsets.
Right.
And I will know within the first 2 minutes of talking to you where your belief system is. And that right. will determine what you get as well. Amen. Because I'm not going to be throwing wisdom on ground that I know my pearls are bouncing back on.
Sure.
The Bible says, wipe your feet and walk away. Mm-hmm. We as Christians believe and see in so many people that they could be better, but until they see it and believe it, because Paul spoke to believers.
Yes.
He was, and I always say, I'm only here for the believers, because it had to take me to become one, start studying the word and being patient and knowing that I'm evolving. Mm-hmm. And it's now we're supposed to go out and disciple and be patient and understand that, ooh, child, I thought they got it, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. But you know if they're receiving it. You know. And that's when familiar spirits start to step in a little, where wow. they know what you're going to say, and you say it over and over again. You're going to have to say, look, and let me just end with this.
Sure.
If God can't finish it, you can't.
Wow.
If he can't fix it, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're his image, but if God can't do it, what make you think you can?
Wow. And because of that, it gives confidence to us, confidence to be able to embrace our voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
To develop our voice, to develop yeah. who we are and the type of impact that we have
wow.
That comes out of us, that's birthed out of yeah. us, as well as supporting the vision of the visionary. Amen. So, you know,
amen.
Another important lesson, another important lesson many women in ministry learn is that you cannot try to become your husband. I struggle with that, I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
God did not call you to mirror him. He called you to compliment him. And sometimes women feel pressure to preach like their husbands. Lead like their husbands.
I can't. I wear wigs sometimes and he bald head and I can't. I wear heels and he wear flats.
I'm
so
weak, I'm weak, I'm weak.
You know, I can't do what he do. Only he can do that. And I can only compliment him, not compete with him. And, you know, we all have our calling. And I yeah. think you're so right. When people hear your husband, they want you to sound like him. And when they realize you have your own voice, they like it even more because it comes across authentic.
Yeah.
I think another thing we need to lean in on is borrowed trauma. This is another part of imposter syndrome, where you go and you borrow what you think someone is saying that you should be like. You need to preach like your husband. Why am I going to borrow that? I just put trauma on myself to try and perform the way he performs. Mm-hmm. When I have to say, Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. I step back as you step forward. I don't say, Sam, you step forward and I step back. I say, the Holy Spirit, Father God, you step in where I step back. And when we start saying that, he does. He yeah. steps in and he actually feeds the flock, the sheep, those people that are there to hear what thus says the Lord, because you've allowed him to take over. But I think you're right. We want to please not only ourselves, our husbands, not ourselves, but our husbands mm-hmm. and the people that are used to hearing pastor. I don't believe in co-pastoring. I believe there's a pastor. Anything with two heads is a freak to me. Either you are the senior pastor and then you have a pastor too. I am
yeah.
pastor, but Pastor Sam Wagner is the senior pastor.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And I think that's we have to detox bad doctrine because we grew up with co-pastor.
Yes.
And the congregation of people will make it a struggle when you didn't. And then you adopted. That's what I'm talking about, that borrowed trauma. Oh, well, such and such said that pastor said this, but Dr. Rico said that. No, now you have two coming against one. When Pastor Wagner said something, guess what? Even if I think or I disagree, he's the pastor.
Yeah.
I follow.
Yes.
And he will come back and say, what do you think? Then I can share. But it's not my job to change what the pastor, he's the one with the vision, and I support the vision.
Amen.
And I think once we show that consistently, he's the pastor. He's the senior pastor. But then he will ask. And then he might do what he might go with my suggestion or not, but it has to be solicited. I do not go and say, this is what I think. Mm-mm. He's the pastor.
Right. Wow. And just what you said, I'm like, Holy Spirit, thank you. My Lord, I repent. Because I use the term co-pastor all the time. And really, like you said, it's a freak. It ain't nothing that got two heads.
I don't want to see that with no two heads.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, people will get it twisted. They won't understand, like, you know, who is actually the head of that body, of that church. And I love how you redirected that, because yes, there have been a lot of things that we've been taught wrong, that we have to revamp.
Because I grew up like that. Absolutely. I grew up that way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, as co-pastors or
this is the co-pastor. Mm-hmm. This who, and people will come and say, so who's the pastor? Who's the co-pastor?
Yeah.
And they're not saying anything wrong. They're just saying what they've been exposed to. And, you know, I believe once you know better, you do better. And once I was exposed to it, I said, oh, that's right. Anything but a co means that it breeds room for competition.
Right.
It does. Like, you're going against what the pastor said. Well, what did the co-pastor say? Well, wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's good. Yep.
So.
Yep. And, you know, the good thing is, you know, God has designed us to where we have specific gifts that help support the ministry. And, you know, one thing I always say, submission is not a cuss word. Mm-mm. Every time I talk to, well, when I talk to women or people I worked with, and I said, I'm one of the most happiest, submitted women on this side of heaven. And they look at me, submitted, you know. And I'm like, y'all don't understand. I'm not walking behind my husband like, yes, or why? No, I ain't doing that. You know, basically, I'm coming under the mission of the Tucker household.
Yeah.
You know, I'm coming under the mission of the My Church Channel. Mm-hmm. See where I'm coming from? And because people struggle with that whole concept of submission, then if a woman doesn't understand that, she can easily become non-empowered. You know, and the good thing is that we know the Word of God empowers us. The Holy Spirit gives what we need. And, you know, instead of just saying, well, it's all about being, you know, a Tucker. I don't have a voice. I don't have this. But see, when a woman discovers her own expression of leadership, something powerful happens.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry becomes stronger because both voices are operating in their grace.
Amen.
So how could I get messed up?
Amen.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I look at you and Apostle, and I'm going to tell you, y'all definitely operate in grace.
Oh, praise God.
You know, I got tickled on Sunday. You know, Apostle, boy, he poured himself out on Sunday. Bless his heart. I was like, somebody pray, you know, help him. Because, I mean, it was being a pastor's wife or, you know, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. But I did notice you were right there. When he was trying to close out things, you were positioned right there. And I loved it because I know you were thinking, let me get my husband out of here. You know, and it's not like you were trying to be funny. No, because you know the impact that it has on him after everybody's gone home.
Absolutely. And you know, you don't want to ever minister empty. And I know after that particular service, we had to step away for a few minutes just to pray for him because of the exposure and everything that he just prayed for so many people. Mm-hmm. But we also know we are pastors that like to touch people and talk to them. So just give us grace for 5 minutes. Let us just pray for him because he does want to talk or see some people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
In our receiving line. And they were so gracious. But we had to break away because he needed to know that we care enough for you.
Yeah.
To get you girded back up and then to go and get the word back in you, because he was empty he was tired. But he also knew that there was some that he needed to talk to, and allowed us a moment just to pray for him and to gird him back up and to know that God is pouring. So yeah, Monday was pouring day for him. That's to good. Get back full, because you know, his appetite is hearty just like ours when it comes to the word of God. But yeah, you got to get in position, because one thing I know, opportunities come to those who are prepared. And you got to be prepared. You got to be in position. And that, you know, that's resonating with me so much. We are all given opportunities, but are we prepared? Or are we in position to do or to receive what God has for us in that moment? You don't want to miss those moments. And we do. We those are manifested moments for things to come to pass supernaturally. So thank you for noticing that. But yeah, I pray for him before he ministers every Sunday, even if it's just a touch on his back, for the strength that he needs, and that he can divinely divide the word of God specific for the house. Yes. And when he comes back, to pray his strength back into what he just released. So yeah, you're right. Thank you.
My husband, God. He's so funny. Well, not funny, but he says it just like this. If anybody's looking for a ministry, just don't go on Sunday. Go on the day that they have Bible study. And then look at how the pastor and the pastor's wife interact. That'll speak a lot about the connection of the ministry.
Yeah.
You know, because we as women supporting our spouses or, you know, our pastors, you know, there has to be a reflection of God's love that pours through us.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, because our roles with our husband is a direct reflection of God's love for us.
Come on now. Come on.
To be able to pour that love out on others. Why? Because we have a heart after God. It's just simple. That's what
it's simple.
The heart of the pastor. You know, we got a heart. Go ahead, you agree.
We do. No, I agree with everything that you're saying. I mean, you got to understand that normally when people are coming to church, and you know, when you join a church, that's a very important decision. This is someone that has foresight over your life. So you want to hang your hat where you know they're truly pressing their way to hear what God has to say concerning you, through the messages that the pastors preach. But they're also looking for a father. They're looking for a husband. They're looking for a brother. There are different roles that attract you in to the ministry. And then the word of God should be the sealing part to keep you in the ministry. Because there's something somebody say, well, you know what? He reminded me of my dad. He reminded me of somebody. But then at the end of the day, he's got to be reminded that he is the pastor. And he truly cares and hears what thus says the Lord concerning your life. So you're right. You are so right.
And I think one of the beautiful and powerful moments in a woman's ministry journey, because Lord knows, as we are married to visionaries, they're going to have a journey. And we either going to get on the bus or not. You know,
kicking and screaming. I get on this bus.
You ain't never like... Don't even give the bus a tune-up. Just let
it go
around.
I don't even want to get in this car. Right.
Oh, Jesus. But you know, really, it's something. When that journey causes us to have to tap in to the resource. And the resource is the source.
That's
the Holy Spirit. And Lord knows when the Holy Spirit is in us, we begin to have this anointing that flows, just like the anointing flows from the pastor down to the disciples, you know. So
that's right.
It flows. I mean, we're the next ones next to him. I'm like, I sleep next to him, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to get soaked with
oil.
You know, because, again, we have to respect that. And we got to trust, though, our own anointing.
Yes.
You know, so with that, it's like, you don't want to see women who are married to visionaries that are competing with their husband, comparing with their husband, but trusting, not trying, but trusting what God placed inside of her. In 2 Timothy 1, 6, it says, fan into flame.
That's right.
The gift of God, which is in you. So we know the gift is already there.
Mm-hmm.
And it says fan in the flame.
Fan in it.
You know, it's supposed to go
fan it.
I mean, just huge. So fear, comparison, and insecurity, though, tries to silence it. Let me say that three times. Silence it. So what helped you grow into a place where you could confidently trust the gifts and anointing God placed inside of you?
Well, I stopped listening to people. I stopped listening to people because my husband taught me one thing early on in our marriage was consider the source. Consider the source. The person that's bringing the news or saying, I think you need, I had this one lady, I just loved her. Still do.
Mm-hmm.
But she was telling me all the things I should be doing. You're gifted to do this, you're gifted to do that, but I noticed you don't do this or this and that. And God had to confirm to me that wasn't my time.
Right.
So what if I had listened to her and I went and I talked to my spiritual father or my husband, Pastor Wagner, mm-hmm. and he said, this is not your time. But I've heard it too many times being told it is.
Right.
That's competition. It's that seed has been planted. But I had to consider the source on where it came from. And once I considered the source to realize, does it line up with what I'm doing right now? Because I need to master what I'm doing right now before I try and go and do other things that they think I should be doing. Because that's the hot thing to do right now. When that's not what I was called to do right now. Now, the beauty of it is I get to do it, just not right now. And I think that's where the competitiveness comes from,
mm-hmm.
because you will have people that come in from other places and say, I think you should be doing this. I know I can do it.
Right.
But did he tell me to do it at that moment? And typically there's a book out now, and this minister, she's a female pastor. Mm-hmm. She said she ministered for 28 years. And she was talking to God. He said, well, I was only part of it for 8. The other 20 was on you. And we allow people to fuel the anointing with certain strange fires that wasn't part of my original makeup. But I would get back. I really love this young lady. And I told her, I said, I love you so much, but we both are on different paths. I appreciate what you're doing, but she was doing stuff I've already been.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost tricked myself into backpedaling?
Yes.
When God had already moved me out of that. Like some of us are stuck in seasons God has already left. And we're trying to allow those people that are stuck in that same season to try and pull us back in and say, no, this is what I think you should be doing. That's where competition comes in. And I have to remind myself, did God tell me to do this? Did it sit well with me in my spirit? And if I have to go and question what I think, then I'm not fully persuaded. That goes back to being fully persuaded.
Amen.
If I'm not fully persuaded, then maybe this is not the time, doesn't mean I can't do it. I just can't do it now. So once I started to consider the source on who's fueling that and why are they coming now? Because someone will even say, well, I you know, pastor said that, you know, this person, you could do that. No, I can't. No, I can't. Mm-hmm. So again, consider the source, and watch the seeds that are being planted in the season that it's not time for the harvest. So we got to remember that. And that's how, and this was a learned behavior because yes. I thought highly of myself too, child. I was like, you know what? You right. I should be. Then I realized when the momentum starts to die down, that lets me know that wasn't God. That's all you. Go sit down somewhere until you master what he told you to focus on. That's a detour and a distraction. I need you to stay focused on what it is he's called you to. Not saying I can't do it. I just can't do it now. So I had to just consider the source. Who was telling me this and why are they telling me this? And look, what do they get out of it? What position do they gain from my disobedience? I'm not doing it. But again, that's learned behavior. Oh, yeah. And they can say this. I'm the one that told her. God get the glory, not you. If God don't get the glory, that lets me know I need to consider the source.
Wow. And you and I both know, and I think anybody that's a believer knows that, you know, people are wonderful, but the enemy knows how to use people, you know, and a lot of ways to cause division and doubt and insecurity is just like that serpent was in the Garden of Eden.
Come on. You said something right there.
Yep.
Because Adam had an Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve had an Adam.
Yep.
The only person single in that whole relationship at that time was the snake.
Yep.
He was the only one single. And the snake is, we got to watch our snake talk. Because if you have snake talk, you will always be isolated for him to be in your ear.
Mm.
Adam had an Eve and Eve had an Adam. Then the snake start talking. And when you start having snake talk, you isolate yourself to where you are lonely, deception, competition, all that snake talk. Will get you, girl, don't get me on that snake talk, child. That snake talk sound like, you know, you could do better. Or you missed your opportunity. Or I don't want to be married. That snake talk. Yep. Get rid of your snake talk. Sure get rid enough. Of that snake talk. So you're right.
Or either, you know, I'll be there to support you all in anything that you want, anything that you need. I mean, that's until what the disciples did to Jesus. You know, I'll die for you. Okay. And Jesus like, okay, you're going to lay down your life for me? What Jesus went through, as much as I love him, I don't know now. You know,
I'm telling you, he had 12 and three, he had to draw close. You got to understand.
Yep.
You're going to have those who do, and then you're going to have those who are fully persuaded.
Amen.
Who's fully persuaded to follow the God in me? Who's fully persuaded, if I have to correct you when you don't feel you need to be corrected, or you think you are on the same level as me, but you consider me, who's fully persuaded? That's who I'm after.
Hmm.
That's who Jesus wants. He wants the fully persuaded.
And a lot of times, you know, people don't realize that the second seat is not just supportive. It's strategic.
You know, it's strategic.
Supportive is totally different than being strategic. And often the person standing beside a visionary leader sees things others can't see. And we've talked about that, you know, just in our recent conversations, how we are like the sharpshooters, you know, but even though we shoot well, you know, we still have a subtle way of trying to figure out who's, you know, shooting where and where the bullets are coming from, you know?
Yeah. That's right.
But in order to do that, you know, you got to have a spirit of discernment. There's got to be intercession. I mean, if you don't know what to say, that's when you pray and ask the Holy Spirit what to say. You know, let him help you intercede. And there is wisdom that helps stabilize the vision. Excuse me. In Exodus 17, when Moses' arms grew tired during battle.
Yeah.
Aaron and Hur held him up. And because they held his arms up, Israel prevailed. This is a picture of spiritual partnership.
That's right. Wow.
Sometimes the second seat isn't about visibility. Mm. Let's say that again. It's not to be seen. It's not about visibility. It's about strengthening the vision, helping him build the vision, helping him share the vision, so that the mission, because there's a mission.
Yes.
That mission is to build the kingdom of God. Plain and simple, you know. The mission can succeed. So, Dr. Rico, from your perspective, what are some of the spiritual responsibilities that come with standing beside a visionary leader?
Listening. listening. I can't hear to respond. I have to listen to understand. Because when you listen to respond, you have missed some of the meat on what it is that what are they trying to communicate. So I started to listen more. And then what I didn't understand, I asked for clarity. And then it was easy for me to say, yes, I understand, I can do it. Then, yeah, let me jump in. And then realize I missed the mark. And now I got to start all over again. But I would say listening. Listening to understand and then execute. And being reminded, it's not about me. It's never been about me. It's always been about people. And I heard one person say, well, I'm not a people person. And I said, well, then you don't need to be in ministry. Wow. Because people, we have to have people. We open our doors on Sundays and Wednesdays and all the events that we have during church for people. It's never been about us. We believe in partnership, not membership. We believe that we partner with everyone. I could not do this or anything that I have been able to do without partners. So I have to listen and I have to become who I'm looking for. So how I treat you, I want you to treat me the same way.
Amen.
So listening.
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 Mm-hmm. And that's a huge responsibility because if you don't
listen. It's a skill.
Oh my gosh. Say it again.
It's a skill. Especially when you don't want to hear from that person, but you got to listen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So before we close, I want to speak to the women watching today. Some of you are pastors. Some of you are ministry leaders. Some of you are wives of pastors who are still discovering where you fit in the journey. My God. The truth is, God never assigns a seat without attaching purpose and authority to it. In Proverbs 31, verse 25 through 26, it reads, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. You know, God has always, always empowered women to strengthen his work in the earth.
Every time.
So, Dr. Wagner. I'm gonna get my husband. He all that, you know, doctor. He put Dr. Rico. Let me start over.
You're
even
fine.
Wagner is your name, but you know, all the best. Okay, so Dr. Rico, what encouragement would you give to women who are learning how to faithfully walk in what we've called today the second seat of authority?
Trust you. Sounds so simple, sounds so easy, but to trust who God has called you to be. You have a voice. My prayer is you know when to use it. I think trusting yourself carries so much weight. When you don't know what to say, then don't. But when you know what to say, say it. But say it in a way that you know it can be received. And pray God gives you the words to say it for those who you might find difficult to communicate with. The reason why we don't talk is because we're afraid what somebody else is going to say or how they're going to receive it. So you pray in advance to let them know, hey, I need to feel comfortable in my skin in this time, and stay encouraged. Get around women that have what you're looking for. Get around someone that can empower you to do, or you know, sometimes we don't even know what to say or do, but get around someone that has your answer. Look for those pictures of possibilities. Wow. Find you women that can get you to where you're trying to go. That's what I would say. That's what beautiful. I would say. Trust yourself. And if you know you're wrong, it's going to be okay to get right.
Right.
Just know you're wrong. You know what I mean? And, yes. and say, God, I'm wrong. Or I could be the problem. Wow. Honesty will promote that authenticity. I mean, being authentic. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you have shortcomings. You do not have to be perfect. God doesn't do well with perfection. He does well with dirt. And we have to get back into letting him mold us in whatever area it is. I'm only telling you this because I have to tell myself, you are a woman of God. You are his child. You do not talk as an orphan. You talk as his child. Wow. And you got to keep telling yourself that until you believe it. So it becomes an easy uptake for you. And start getting yourself around women that have your answer.
Wow. Well, Dr. Rico, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
I hope this helps somebody.
Look, if it don't, I'm sorry. I'm like, the Holy Spirit was all up in this. So, you know, they have to be open to receive, right? And they don't want to miss out on what has just been discussed because it's International Women's Month.
But it not is. Only that,
we have to be, we're women 365 days, 7 days a week, forever.
24/7.
Right. Exactly. And I laugh, even think about when you said 24/7, right? The only one that could really have said 24/7 would have been Jesus.
Wow.
But see, Jesus, he even thought, I need to take a nap.
Rest is important.
Yep. So, you know, like you said, being able to, you know, take care of ourselves, find out, you know, who Dr. Rico is or who Rico is, who Stephanie is. So, you know, just your testimony alone has helped so many women. And to every woman watching, whether your role is visible or quiet, them quiet storms, whether you are leading publicly or strengthening the vision behind the scenes, your faithfulness matters. Your voice matters.
Jesus.
And your calling matters. So thank you all for joining us for this International Women's Month special episode of The Heart of the Pastor. Today we celebrate women who walk faithfully in what we call the second seat of authority. Because every seat assigned by God carries purpose, influence, and sorry. I'm trying not to sneeze.
Bless you, Jesus. Sweetie.
Oh, God. So, you know, again, influence and eternal impact.
Yes.
God. Whatever we do, we definitely want to leave an impact that honors God, not an impact that honors the world.
Right, right.
So, you know, we are awesome. We are designed and created to do everything. And God gives us the grace to do everything that he's called us to do. So with that being said, I'd like to close us out with prayer.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this evening. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for Dr. Rico. And I pray as she shared her heart tonight, God, that others that have watched this tune in to her heart, especially any woman that is assigned to her. Lord, yes, I pray that their hearts will be open to receive what type of responsibility that Dr. Rico carries in order to support Apostle, who is her husband, but most importantly, her pastor. And Lord, I thank you that we're able to talk about the second seat of authority. Because, Lord God, we know that's not a sign of weakness. That has to be a sign of strength. Because, God, we know if anything happened to the president, Lord God, we know the vice president got to step right on in.
That's it.
And, Lord, I pray that there are a lot of women who don't mind being that second seat. And, Lord, if they are struggling with that, I pray right now that they're able to look at themselves, reflect on what's going on with them, submit it unto you, Lord God, put some word on it, and trust that you will handle this situation and help them learn more about themselves so they can be effective for the kingdom. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Whew. Amen.
Now, if you've been blessed by this broadcast, or any of our ministries and would like to help us to continue to do what God has called us to do, you can sow a financial seed using Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or visiting our website at www.lovemychurch.org and click sow a seed. Amen. So God bless you all. I'm so glad y'all joined us. I'm Pastor Steph. That's Dr. Rico, and stay tuned for our announcements.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
We are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level. We are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.